Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rise Above 2K. I'm Gax, here, as always, with the talent, the Unicorn Big. How are you doing this evening, my man?
I'm great. All YouTube's at 3,000 plus subs.
Yeah.
Look at us. That's 1,000 new subs in the last 10 or 11 days. I'm running hot on rec and feeling great.
That's fantastic. And thank you to everyone who subscribed. If you haven't subscribed, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, tell your friends, tell your family, have them subscribe and like and juice those numbers. We super, super, super appreciate all your support. If you're listening on Podcast Network, the info for YouTube is in the description in the show notes. So stop on by and leave us a comment and a like. As always, if you play 2K or just like our community, our Discord's free to join. That link's also in the description. There's a lot of hardworking, like-minded 2K players, and we're actually going to get the chance to chat with one of them today on this episode. Something a little different and fun that we've been trying to get off the ground for a little while. So excited to introduce our guest in a little bit. Before we get to the guest, before we get to Rise Above 2K stuff, we got to give a shout out to Shoddy's, the best jersey, the best place to buy jerseys on the planet, in my opinion. Highest quality, low price, really, really good customer service, quick return on requests. And if you get in today, maybe tomorrow, you can likely get everything shipped and to your house before the holidays. I know I'm going to be taking advantage of that. I know the Unicorn's going to be taking advantage of that. So thank you, Shoddy's. There is a link to their Instagram in the description below. Shoot him a DM and get your holiday wish list taken care of just in time.
Yes, and anyone who's watching this on YouTube, and to anyone who's not, I am wearing a Detroit Lions Amon-Ra St. Brown jersey. Why am I doing that? Well, A, the Lions are playing right now. And B, I want the whole world to know that Shoddy's does a lot more than Dennis Rodman jerseys.
Yes.
Shoddy's does any basketball jersey, and Shoddy's does any sports jersey you want. So
yes.
If it's, a Brett Favre, don't know why anyone would want that one.
Vikings jersey.
If it's a Brett Favre Vikings jersey, you got it. If it's a, Scott Mitchell Lions jersey, you got
again, it. Don't buy, or if it's a Rodman Mavs jersey. I will say I ordered a third version of a kit that's sort of random that the actual league website doesn't even sell in player customization, and they turned it around on a dime. So you can get obscure with it. Challenge them. It'll be fun. but Shoddy's description in the notes below. Make sure you send him a DM. Tell him we sent you, and enjoy the awesome jerseys that they do. It was a big week for Rise Above 2K. Obviously, 3,000 subscribers is a huge deal for our YouTube. But it was also a great week on the sticks for you. Give us some of the highlights. What's been going on, and how has the play gone?
It's gone really well. I just got back home a few days ago. Unfortunately, the first weekend I was gone was the first week of the new season. So of the 9 days I was gone, I think I got to play 3 of those days. So that was definitely not a positive thing. But what was positive is that when I was at my in-law's house, and shout out to my in-laws for having a good TV.
Yes.
I was winning so many rep games. I mean,
that's
I probably
awesome.
Went like 80% and just saw that plate climb all the way up to purple. So that was huge. I got back. We've had a few good nights with the squad on rec. I am not proud to say that my rec record was at 33%. The first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, I was kind of floundering. And out of the 400 games I've played on rec, I am officially well above 500, into 8 games above 500. I think literally like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was 13 games under. So obviously playing randoms is different than playing squads, because if you play with a squad, anyone out there who knows, you're going up against another squad.
Yes.
So you might be on purple plate playing random. Typically that game should be easier than playing purple plate against another squad. So I we'll talk about it a little bit with a guest. I really feel like I'm learning. Well, I'm doing more than learning. I'm getting more comfortable playing in a zone, you know, playing in that right corner. And just, you know, I think overall the game is not necessarily coming easier. Well, I guess I could say that the game is it's coming easier just from like seeing the 10 guys on the court who are playing, you know, shot selection, things like that.
For sure.
You know, things are good. And I think the most important thing right now is I'm excited to pick up the sticks every single day I get out of work. I love the Pistons, but I've been watching their games on replay. I've been watching the Spurs highlights. I have decided that when my squad is on, I've got to make that sacrifice that I'm going to be on there playing some games.
Yeah. I mean, you're making the sacrifice now because you have the Lions on pause. So there's that. But we talked about this quite a bit in the earlier episodes, like the amount of hours, whatever, Malcolm Gladwell hours, but the amount of hours for some of the things that you have to think about to just become a natural part of your play so you can think about the next or more important parts of the game. You're not thinking about basic functions. The basic functions are just happening, and it allows you to kind of open up your mind in terms of where the play is going and what to anticipate with your teammates.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so true. You know, I look back 6 months ago and I was too scared to play on Black Plate and Rec. I didn't even know what a plate was.
You eat on them sometimes.
Didn't really know what a zone was. Basic basketball terminology. Mm-hmm. I was ignorant on, to say the least. And now, you know, I'm nowhere near where I want to be, both in my own personal play, both in the YouTube and the brand. But I can't believe how far I've climbed in just these 6 months. And, you know, let's put more months in. Let's get to 2K27. Let's get to 2K28 because I'm not stopping.
Yeah. Yep. And we're going to keep growing and we're going to keep grinding along, and we will document every single step of the journey here in this channel. So like I said earlier, subscribe, hit the notification bell and find us on socials because we're posting shorts and things like that all the time. There's lots of fun content. But we're going to go ahead and turn it over to our guest. Now for something completely different, I'm very excited to introduce our first guest to the Rise Above 2K podcast. This is Drew. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, my man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Great.
We're here hoping that Detroit pulls out a big win tonight. But we're even more excited to sit and chat with you a little bit about NBA 2K. Let's get started with, how long have you been playing NBA 2K? Like, how long have you been more seriously playing, I suppose?
Well, I've been playing probably since, I don't know, 2K8 or something, but like competitive, trying to play online, and start playing until 16 or 17, 2K17. I started playing. That's when me and my brother got our first PS4, and then I just played Park. And then after that, my friends, we all got PS4s, and 2K19 was actually probably the most fun I've had with all my buddies and stuff. But so I've been playing basically 9 years, I'd say, online.
That's awesome. Yeah. So 26 has been a whole different adventure. What build have you been running with this year, and what has you excited about it?
I've been playing on this Joe Knows, like two-way. I have it up right here. It's two-way, three-level combo guard. Basically like a LeBron build. Like, I try to get to the rim, but also try to facilitate and like get assist when I can. But I mean, it's pretty easy to shoot though. So like I can like hit a snatchback or something and usually shoot pretty good. I shoot like 73% or 75% from three. So, I mean, it's pretty easy. Like, compared to last year, was terrible.
Okay.
There's literally RNG in the game where, like, you can make two in a row, and then your third one, you can be wide open, and it wouldn't let you make it, which makes no sense. But
so, when Drew says he gets assists when they're there, or whatever he said, I literally just played with the guy, and he's throwing up like 20 plus every single game. So he's being very modest.
Well, and from what I know about the game, people who actually distribute the ball is a pretty freaking rare thing. So not just to have one, but one that does it well. I mean, bravo, my man. You're doing the Lord's work.
Trying to. A lot of people just go in there in the rec and just throw up crazy stuff. So when I get five people, when we have five people, it's hard to lose. But
good point. Yeah,
the Rex is a crazy monster because there's a lot of toxic people in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and since you've joined Rise Above 2K, we always talk about our Discord and how nice it is for people to collaborate and build some teams together. Has that been a helpful place for you to find some people who are more positive minded, but also a little more serious about developing in the game?
Yeah. Big's got some people on the Discord that's came and play with us. Like, I think Trey, well, most of everybody playing, I think, is in the Discord. But I have 100. I played with 100 for 6 years, and then I got my brother back into the game. So it's usually us three, and then we got Big. And then we kind of round with whoever else joins. We got Gigs. Gigs have been playing with us. But we had one of my other buddies, Joey. And then we got Vaughn and Trey. And then am I missing anybody? I feel like there's a good rotation of like 7 to 8.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. And then, Drew, if you can just like comment a little bit about like, you know, grinding to get better and like not plateauing and like that general part of the Rise Above 2K culture.
Yeah, I think you just got to play, like, whether it be anything you're doing, work or games, whatever, sports, you got to just keep playing them or else you're not going to get any better. I mean, also, it's easier on video games because you just sit here and play, but like, you can't just skip on the game and just expect to score 30 points or even 20, like, without knowing how to actually shoot or anything. Like, I used to shoot with square all the time, or X if you're an Xbox players, but like now it's tempo, so you shoot with the stick. Like, I never used to do that. Like, I thought that I started doing it, and that's all I shoot with now. So, and it's just, you got to play with the right people. You can't go in by yourself and expect to be good. Like, you might get your own stats, but you need a team. Like, 2K is all about having people to play with, and you got to communicate. Like, you don't have to know everything about basketball, but you need to learn a little bit. And like, the best thing I would say, you're struggling to like understand stuff, just go on YouTube and look up what, I mean, it depends what you want to get better at. Like, we want to get better at like comp pro-am. So like, I would say look at Black Market or look up even Young Precise or like Laker Fan. Those are just a couple guys I can name, but like, just watch them play and watch the competition. And like, some of them have played against like high level, like NBA 2K League players. Like, they're that good. You should be watching them. Like, it's just like in sports, when you grow up, you're not just going to watch some random people play. Like, you're going to want the, like, they know what they're doing.
But. Yeah. Yeah, that's key. And we talk about RNG a lot with, you know, just being in solo queue and stuff, how you're at such a mercy of who you're going to be paired up with. But one other thing that we talk about a lot is trying to break out of slumps and have a positive mindset when things aren't really going that well. Is that something that you have, like, a normal go-to move if you're just in a little bit of a rut and you're trying to get out of it? Do you, like, go to a certain form of practice or step away from the game for a while? Like, what are your ways to kind of get back in the groove of things?
Honestly, this is kind of sad to say, I've been playing so much and so long that really, I feel like I really get a bump. Like, I might not score a lot sometimes, but for me, it's a lot is like, if I don't score like 30 points, like if I score 15, I don't really care. Like, there's one game we played together, I'm scoreless game because like, I didn't care. I had like 26 assists and we were like 40. So it's like, I don't really have to like try extremely hard. Like, sometimes there's games I have to try, but if we go in pro-am, it's different. I would say a rec, it's hard to get a bump. People sometimes aren't that good in the rec.
So,
that's when you got a good...
Yeah. People who are ranked 250th in California typically don't go in big slumps.
Shout out to Drew for the skills and bringing the rankings. One question about our community at large is, you've been playing a lot with the Unicorn Big in group play, and he's been going through some pretty wild transitions through the first part of 26. What have you noticed about his growth and sort of what he's been able to bring to the table for the team?
Well, he's definitely just getting better in all facets of the game. Like, his shooting has gotten way better, but that's just from last year. Last year, the game was trash for shootings. His defense and communication is definitely getting better. We're definitely working. Running a zone, like, for me, it's not really that complicated. But for, like, Big, who's trying to learn and stuff, or whoever, maybe, like, sometimes it gets confusing. But I'm just telling him, we got to talk. Like, if you talk through things, like, it's like in real basketball. You can't just trick and assume someone's going to cover your guy. Like, you need to talk to let them know, like, help or stay. Like, you just got to communicate. And we're getting better at that. But he's definitely progressing, like his shot taking is a big thing. Like, just because you think you're open, like, sometimes it's not open. Like, in real life, sure, you can shoot the ball over someone. Like Kevin Durant, he can shoot over anybody. And it's wide open to him. But like in 2K, you can't do that. Someone jumps at you, it's contested. So I think overall, this gameplay, IQ and stuff is getting better. And I think the more he plays with us, I think he'll just get better. Because he'll start to see more things like running zone. Just five out. Five out's big. Like five out's tough because I play point guard and I'm not a ball hogger. I don't try to be. But like if you watch comp pro-am, the point guard has the ball 5 to 98% of the time. It's just the way it is. And like it's tough because you spend your money on your ability. You're like, man, I want to get mine. I want to get. But like at the end of the day, if you're playing 5v5, you got to play a role. And like if people want to try to play point guard, like they can, but you got to worry about freaking four other guys. You're trying to get them the ball and they might be open 100% of the time. Like they might be open, but you got to try to find a space to get a dunk, get a three, pass at the corner, tell someone to cut, someone to wrap. Like you got to look at all that stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot going on. Definitely for sure. Playing center, yeah. He's definitely coming along 100%.
So, just to let everyone, like Gak said, everyone who's out there listening to the pod, which according to our subs is north of 3,000, just saying. You know, Gax has been a huge like support for me when I go through my ups and downs, because unlike Drew over here, you know, I've only been playing the game for literally 6 months online, and you know, I was in Pro-Am 2 months in and I felt like I was the weakest player on the team every single time. And now when we're playing these, you know, Pro-Am or like high level rec, I feel like, you know, I'm at least a net like neutral to a slight net positive. I also want to say too, like Drew's also been there a lot for me throughout the growth process as well. He's one of the few people I've played with throughout the last 6 months, 7 months. And, you know, we had not the best night last night. And I was feeling down and I hit up Drew and, you know, he's like, dude, we're good. We're a team and all of that. And that's what I think really makes, you know, Drew such a critical part of, Rise Above 2K. You know, my success is like, A, it's pretty great to have a damn good point guard who's putting up 23 assists and red plate and 250 in California, because that's going to help. But it's also too, like, you know, when you have a few bad games, you know, like Karl Anthony Towns isn't going to be like, I'm not talking to you, Jalen Brunson anymore. Like, we're done. We're out. We never quit games. We're always there for each other when we're going through the grind. And like, that's huge. Like, we have a really good group going. And Drew just played a critical part in that. So appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, no problem.
Right. Well, thank you. We're going to go from the heavy, heavy hitting topics to the slightly more fun ones. Now, you confided to me earlier that you don't have a favorite NBA team, and that's okay, but I'm going to make you pick one that you like to watch right now, at least, and tell us why.
Lakers, because they got LeBron, got Luka. He's nice. He's been nice for like a couple years, but I mean, literally, just to prove this, me and my buddies put a parlay in the night, and Austin Reeves went for 44 or something like that, and we hit the parlays.
That's a good enough. That's as good as any reason to root for a team.
Parlays, and you pick the people.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What is your favorite basketball movie?
Favorite basketball. I mean, I got a couple. Blue Chips is good.
Blue Chips is great.
Glory Road's good. Let's see.
It's funny you went the serious route, because I always go to White Men Can't Jump.
I'm surprised you haven't gone with Uncle Drew yet.
It seems like an obvious one. All right. One more question before we let you get back to the sticks. Who is your MVP favorite so far in this season of NBA basketball?
I mean, I think right now, I think every year, Joker. I mean, Shai is crazy good, and he's been scoring 30 only going into the quarter, but I don't know. Joker, to me, is the best all-around player.
See, and I have that take every time, too, but SGA crushed the MVP debate last year, and he's playing better this year. So it's like, okay, so how do we do this math, right?
That's tough, because I don't know. You put him on other teams, like, they dominate still, but, like, man, Joker is unstoppable. Like, if he wanted to, he could score just as much as Shea if he wanted to. He's not, like, passing-wise, like, he's selfish or stuff, but, like, the Joker, I mean, he can rebound it and take it off the board and go 94 feet. He gets 4 feet long, or he could dish it. Like, I'm not saying Shea can't do that, but, like, he's not right. Seven. Like,
no, yeah, no, no one can do the things that, that Joker can do. It's absolutely insane. So, I'm with you on that one. And with that, we super appreciate your time tonight. Everyone who's listening, if you want to hang out with people like this and play with people like this, go to the Discord. It's in the link in the description below. We're there all the time playing, grinding and making friends and working together. So if you want to be a part of a community and see sort of the stuff that Drew's bringing to the table, definitely join us there. Thank you so much for your time tonight, man. Have a great evening.
Thank you guys for having me. Thanks, yeah. Big.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate you, bro.
Cheers.
See you guys.
All right. And now we're going to get to a couple of NBA topics. And normally when we kind of go back and forth on different things like that, instead, we're going to do this a little bit different. I'm going to queue up some of the bigger topics from the NBA and get sort of your fast take reaction to sort of what's going on. Oklahoma City is winning every game by a million, and they're not putting their foot on the gas. They've only lost one game this year. What do you think is a realistic total for them this year? Could this be a 75, 78, 80 win season?
I think they have a hard time not winning 70.
Okay.
Let's see what happens if somebody goes down. Let's see what their resting schedule is. Because for them, at the end of the day, it's about winning back-to-back. It's not going to be about winning 70, 75 games. So let's wait and see. But I definitely think they're going to go down with the top three record of all time.
Yeah, they're just that good. And
everyone remember my pick for the West. Yeah. It was the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yep. Yeah, you were on an island with that pick. There was no one who thought that the defending champions would be able to get out of their own conference. So, real bold pick by you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Also, remember that the dumpster fire Clippers, as that ship continues to sink, they hand all of their first round picks over to Oklahoma City. So, OKC is going to be here for a while. Get used to it, guys. Speaking of those dumpster fire Clippers, unceremoniously waving CP3 in the dark of night. Obviously there's more details to emerge of that, but for who is arguably the greatest or most famous or most recognized Clipper player of all time, did they do him dirty with this one?
No.
Okay. It's a business situation for you?
Because I think CP3 could be a really good third or fourth guard on like a decent team. And the way they did it might have been dirty. And he has a huge history there with the Clippers, but this gives him an opportunity to hopefully go to a better team. You know, being a Pistons fan, you know, there's no real room for him there, but
we can make it work. We can make it work.
We were talking offline, like, you know, would it hurt having him in the gym with Cade Cunningham, Jalen Ivey? Probably not.
Yeah, I also related him to Udonis Haslam, so I think that might have been premature, but yeah, that glue guy. With the insane experience and an MVP caliber player in his heyday. Speaking of MVP caliber player, Giannis maybe asked for a trade out, maybe not. It depends on who you ask, but his calf injury was revealed shortly thereafter. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks minimum. The conspiracy theory involve the New York Knicks not being able to deal certain players until January 30th. So does this injury line up for that? What's your take on the Giannis Milwaukee saga?
Do you have to take his brothers too?
I don't know, but they're all on minimum contracts. You're just going to run out of roster spaces at some point.
I mean, look, like I think there's those certain sport media publications that, you know, are going to make mock trades for just about every contending team.
For the Pistons,
for the Spurs, like you said, for the Knicks. I definitely think he's on his way out. Because at the end of the day, he could go to a championship caliber team now. And the Bucks, they don't have much beyond him, even though they beat Detroit last night without him. We'll skip that part.
Yeah, we don't need to go into that one.
Yeah, we know.
I think the real thing for the Bucks is like if they keep signing him to more deals, one, he's just going to get less happy because they're still not going to win. They don't have any pieces and they don't have anything to build with. So you're in a situation where you can trade him, get a haul of picks back, and hopefully build some future for your team, because holding on to him and not making the playoffs is not going to be, it's not going to be the way to do it, I don't think.
Agreed.
Speaking of injuries, the Spurs have been without a very important member of their team, and De'Aaron Fox has been lighting the world on fire in his place. What are your thoughts on Fox being the scorer for Spurs, and did you see that coming?
You know, I did, because without Victor, without Steph Castle, if they're going to win games, a lot of it's going to come around De'Aaron Fox. But it's easy to give Fox the credit here, but let's not forget about guys like Devin Vassell. The other night, he went 7 for 9 for 3. Or, as Sean Elliott calls Harrison Barnes, sure went, that dude's automatic from three. Julian Champagne's been awesome. I think what you're seeing is a team that had played all last year without Victor. Well, not all last year, but the last 3 months.
They know what to do. Yeah.
And they've learned how to play together. They, you know, they're another year in with De'Aaron Fox as their main point guard. They have way more sides this year. I mean, Kelly Olynyk, still your backup big man, with Victor out, and he can make threes too. So not surprised about De'Aaron Fox is doing, but also we have to give some credit to some of these amazing complimentary pieces.
And the last question for you before we get out of here and get you back to the Lions game. The Pistons are shooting a lot. Their percentages are chaotic, ostensibly. Some games it works well, but more often than not, their conversion rating on twos and threes is pretty low. Does Detroit have a shooting problem?
That's hard to say. Okay. Because there,
some nights it works and some nights it doesn't.
Some nights it works, sometimes it doesn't. They need to get it figured out, because what I was watching last night was a team who was going against the zone. And they were shutting down Cade's drives. They were, you know, I think Durin had 8 to 10 points. And they couldn't make anything from three. So, you know, that's the thing. Like, when you have that weird night where you're not scoring 60 in the paint, which is what they've been scoring, then you're going to have a three-point game. I think it is a slight issue now, but I do think if anyone watched that game yesterday, Jaden Ivey is going to be a starter on this team soon, if not the next few games. Duncan Robinson coming off the bench when he gets healthy is where he needs to be, kind of filling in that Malik Beasley role. And then I think, you know, it's hard to tell the Eastern Conference Player of the Month where he needs to improve on his game. But a guy who was in the three-point contest last year, went 1 for 7 yesterday from three. That's not the first game where he's been cold from three.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's tried to slightly change his shot, if he's relying too much on the step-up three, or whatever it is, but he's shooting like 32% this year versus like 38% last year. And we need to get that figured out. That being said, 17-5 isn't bad.
No.
And I think if they do figure out their shooting, watch out, because I think they're going to finish the regular season top in the East, right where they're at right now.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't think it's an issue. I think it's, you know, it's more growing pains of a younger team, right? And I would say we're a year ahead of where we're supposed to be. So we'll let those learning bumps come along the way and just keep feeding on the East. And yeah, take that one seed into the playoffs and make everyone come to Detroit.
Oh, yes.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. Another shout out to Shotties. Make sure you go to their Instagram page. Shoot them a DM and tell them what jerseys you're looking for. You get a great deal and you're going to love what you end up with. And thanks again to Drew for joining us today. Pop into the Discord and say hi. See what we're up to. For myself, Unicorn Big, have a great night, man. We'll talk soon.
Take care, everyone.
Cheers, guys.